Hello, and welcome to In the Arena with Superintendent Eric Olson, a podcast about daring greatly in the world of education and the challenges, heartaches, and triumphs that come with it. My name is Clay Sawatsky, and I'm joined by Eric Olson, Superintendent of Monticello School District. We are thrilled to be joined on our first episode by Sarah Welk, a community and school district social worker, to discuss the topic of resilience. Let's get started.
During his Citizen in the Republic speech, Theodore Roosevelt famously said, "The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly." Educators, perhaps as much as nearly any other profession in our world, embody the idea of being in the arena. On this podcast, Monticello School District Superintendent Eric Olson delves into the arena of education and the challenges, errors, and ultimately triumphs that are faced every day, both in Monticello School District and around the United States. This is In the Arena with Superintendent Eric Olson.
All right, this is Clay Sawatsky, Communication Coordinator for Monticello School District.
And this is Eric Olson, Superintendent of Monticello School District.
We are really excited to begin this new journey together with all of you. Before we get into today's show, I want to give a quick rundown of what listeners can expect from this podcast. Each month, we'll bring different guests onto the show from inside and outside of Monticello School District to discuss the constantly shifting landscape of public education. While the show will at times be specific to Monticello School District, it will also aim to cover general education topics and touch on subjects and successes that are common throughout the K-12 system across the United States. Superintendent Olson will lean on his experience as a classroom teacher, building administrator, and now superintendent, as well as his own life experiences, to connect with guests and dive deep into all aspects of learning. We're especially excited for today's episode, which will give us a chance to jump right into one of the most important components of the social-emotional learning that we focus on in Monticello, resilience. And boy, I'm not sure resilience has ever been more needed in our world than it is at this very moment. But before we go any further, please allow me to introduce Mr. Eric Olson, Superintendent of the Monticello School District. Eric, you are in your third year now as the Superintendent of Monticello School District. But it's been a long journey to get to this point. Could you tell us a little bit about your background in education and how you got into the world of education and what's led you to where you are today?
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you, Clay. I'm really excited about our new show here. If you were going to grab my paper educational resume, you would see that I spent the beginning part of my education career around the St. Cloud area, where I was a hockey coach and an alternative education teacher and an elementary teacher. I did that for 10 years in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. And then I had the great fortune of interviewing with Mr. Sherber in the middle school team back in 2005, where I was selected to be the middle school AP and activities director here at the Monticello Middle School. So that's how I got my start down here in Monticello. I have been here for 15 years. I think the district is trying to find a spot for me when you look at my resume, because I've been at the middle school, I've been at Pinewood, I've been at Eastview, and now I'm the superintendent. So I guess you can say I'm a pretty diverse administrator in the district, where I've gotten the opportunity to lead and be around amazing people at all the buildings. Now that I'm, the superintendent, I get to draw from the experiences that I had in the district, but then I also get to go to those other buildings where I get to see more amazing people, and I couldn't be more proud to lead this district. One thing I know about this district is that we have very engaged families, and we have really good kids, and that's what makes this spot home for me. If you were going to pick up my personal resume, you would also know that I'm a father of two. Both of my kids are in their 20s, and I've been married for 27 years. And I'm proud to be a father and a husband and be part of that team as well. So I enjoy being on teams. My whole life, I think, has been focused on being a part of a team. And most of the time, I found myself in leadership roles, whether it was on a sports team, whether it was working in a warehouse, on a construction team, and now, being an educational leader. I pride myself in those roles and just being there for the people.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. We talk a lot about having a why and your why. Could you tell the people what's your why for being not just in your role today, but in the world of education in general?
Every day, there are kids, there are families, there are teachers who need a champion. They need you to see their wonderful qualities, and sometimes you need to even draw those out. So my why is helping people find and be the best version of themselves.
I think that's really interesting given our current climate. I think that right now in education, you'd agree that people probably need a champion and need that level of support more than they've ever needed it before amidst the pandemic and distance learning and all of the different challenges and unusual circumstances that we're facing in the world today. What has this year been like on your end dealing with really circumstances that none of us have ever dealt with before?
Yeah, I wish that we could oversimplify where we've been since March. I think we all want to, because when you can oversimplify something, you can get to an answer that maybe you've done before, or the educational process that we're used to, and we're not able to do that, and that's hard for people. And so getting back to my why, you know, I'm trying to balance the different views that everybody in the town has. I'm trying to balance the feelings that everybody inside the school has. We're also, as a school system, trying to balance all of those feelings and at home, you know, feelings and stories that everybody has by serving the students that come to us every day. And it's not oversimplified. It's very challenging and complex. Also, the target seems to change on us a lot, Clay. So I'm sure as you and I have worked together on the communication often, we know that one day you get one piece of information from an educational stakeholder, whether it be, somebody at, the government level or a family, and the very next day that can change. And it can, so it changes very rapidly, and trying to stay on top of all that is it's a challenge. And I know you know that too, but I don't know if that leads you into anything else that you're thinking of.
I think one of the things that we've really noticed this year is that, and it's something that we're going to talk to Sarah about today, is the importance of resilience, as we said at the top. And because that kind of ties into what you're saying, is that there's going to be ups and downs, and there's going to be a lot of pushing and pulling in a year like this when everyone is trying to deal with this in their own way, and there's been different guidance from different levels, and everyone's doing their best, right? Like nothing that is happening in education this year is anyone's fault. It is all a product of everyone doing their best to make the best of a challenging situation. But with that come challenges and come hard times and come frustrations, and that's true for individuals and that's true for collective bodies. And I think that I'm sure that in your position you've seen as much of that as anyone. And as a leader, how have you tried this year in the district to promote resiliency, and how important has that been to get people to understand that, look, like there's going to be ups and downs, but we're going to get through the downs and things will work out if we stay in it together?
Yeah, so my position, I get to work with 700 people as on the staff, get to work with over 4,200 students and their families. And when you are working with that type of magnitude, I'm going to go back to just recapturing something I already said. Every person has their own story. every person has their profession and their family that they're trying to support. Every person has unique cases in their family members. Some of our staff, some of our families have people who are ailing or are aging or have underlying conditions that you know, that they're worried about. And so when people come to you with looks of fear, with looks of worry, with looks of anxiety, you're trying to balance that and you're trying to be their champion. And I don't want to overplay this. Like, I'm saying that I have, you know, the worst job in the world. I have the best job in the world because I get to do that. But when you get to do that, trying to find that balance and navigate the very best move for the whole system, it is challenging.
I think that's really so important, Eric. And I think that we're lucky that we have a lot of people in this district, and you'd be the first to say this, that are support people in that role too, for you and for our students. And we're lucky to be joined by one of them today, Sarah Welk, our district social worker and bounce back liaison, who I know you have gotten to know quite well over the years.
Yeah, so Sarah Welk is just one of those people that the first time you meet her, you feel like you've known her for 67 years. And she just has that personality that makes you feel comfortable. And the best thing, I think, besides that comfortability, is that she dives in and she is a problem solver. She figures out things. She's got her own story, you know, just like we all do. And she always seems to, you know, thrive through whatever we're going through. And so we brought forward today a champion. And let's get to Sarah Welk. Before we get to Sarah Welk, I just got to say, she is the only person in the Monticello School District, in fact, the whole world, that's ever been able to get me into a bunny costume. So yeah, I've been a rabbit before in this district, and but we won't get into those details right now. Let's get Sarah Welk here and let's learn a little bit more about her.
Well, we might get into that. We'll see what we have time for today. But Sarah, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Could you tell us just a little bit about your background and what's led you to where you are today in education?
Absolutely. Thank you, Clay and Mr. Olson, for having me and being a part of this. My background a little bit, I come from a small town called Reamer, Minnesota, in northern Minnesota. And we have a, you know, population of 400. And so I have some really good stories to share and able to have a good foundation, I feel, of where I grew up. And I feel like that's so important. Of having a solid foundation. And so I was lucky enough to live in a small town. And when you say it takes a village, that's really, you know, what I felt in that small town to grow up into. So I'm fortunate that way. I was really blessed to have a support system in that village and to help push me to grow my strengths. And with that, I became the first person in my family to have a college degree, which I feel very fortunate to have that opportunity and work hard towards and have the support from my family. So I graduated from college. I went to St. Cloud State University, and I was fortunate enough to be connected to Annette Beniak, who, as we some know, just retired this last year and has been a pillar of where I've learned to become a social worker and a better human being. I was able to do my internship with her when I was at St. Cloud State, and I got lucky that Jim Johnson and Annette Beniak found a grant and was able to fund a position for me for 3 years to start my career as a social worker here at Monticello. And that was 20 years ago. So I would have never imagined back then that I would be here today, 20 years. It flew by, and I feel really fortunate that they believed in me and gave me that opportunity, and that the district believed in this position and what it offered to the community, to the families, and to the students. And they picked that up and funded it. And like I said, I'm here 20 years now. I was fortunate to work at the middle school as a school social worker for 18 years, and blessed to work with amazing people, wonderful administration to back me as well, to help families in the community as much as I could. And now I am in a current position as the district social worker and bounce back liaison, as you shared. And again, it's partially funded by our Centric Care Foundation and our community, and helping promote those bounce back principles and helping promote them within our schools. And that's on a 3-year grant position with the district. So it's a partnership between the Centric Care Foundation and our district to help create this position. So another great challenge, another great opportunity, again, to help our community and our students.
Well, we're lucky to have you in the role that you're in, and all the time that we've had with you in the district so far. I know that Superintendent Olson will be the first to tell you that. but one of the things we like to talk about on the show, or one of the things that we're going to like to talk about, I should say, being this the first episode, is people's why. Why seems to matter more in the field of education than it does maybe anywhere. What's your why? Why did you get into education, and why do you do what you do today?
Great question. Again, you know, to go back to that small town connection that I have, you know, there's not as many resources in a small town as you would here in Monticello, even though some people think Monticello is small, not compared to Reamer, Minnesota. but like I said, there's a lot of great educators in schools all over. And I was fortunate enough that my mom was the community ed director in Reamer, and my dad worked for the county, but he also was a city council member for many years and then became the mayor. And so knowing what they had as their values and foundations really impacted me as a person. And, you know, I can say I have 2 older brothers, and they would probably say the same thing about our values and what we grew up with in our foundation as people and as our homes. And giving back and taking care of people, that's just super important, you know. And, you know, growing up with that, that's just becomes who you are in your DNA. And that is what keeps us going. That's what our why was. My why going into this is, how can I help people? Because I feel fortunate that I had the foundation that I had, but I know there's a lot of families, a lot of students that don't have that. And I feel like everybody should have that same opportunity given to them. And I just wanted to help promote that and give them the same opportunities.
I know that, and Eric, don't worry, I haven't forgot about the bunny story. We still will circle back to that one. But one of the other important things that we wanted to talk about today, I know an important thing to you and in your world, Sarah, is resilience, and something that Eric and I already touched on just a little bit, but it being more important this year than ever. What does resilience mean to you, and what has resilience meant to your life?
You know, resilience to me means that it's our ability to bounce back from those tough stresses in our lives. It's not about avoiding it, but learning to thrive within the stress and building good coping skills that we can use to deal with stressful situations. So I feel it's really important that, you know, we learn these tools as we grow from a preschooler until we're, you know, 80 years old. We can always learn to do better and to grow. We don't always have the right answers. And who, you know, would have thought that we would have been sitting in a pandemic, you know, and we need as many tools in our toolbox that we can possibly get. So I feel the more that we can learn, the more we can grab to put in our toolbox along our life's journey and learn from others is super important.
I know that I've had the opportunity, Ms. Sarah Welk, to have many conversations with you over the years. And we both have used our story to help kids. And I know with me, thinking back to when I was 11 years old, when my parents went through a divorce, and it wasn't, you know, maybe the most amicable divorce and easy divorce. It was one that, you know, brought intense feelings and emotions to me as a 11-year-old boy, and to my brother, who was a 5-year-old boy at the time. And And so, you know, you can go two ways when anything challenging happens. You can, you can choose a path of maybe hurtful or harmful behavior to yourself, or you can be sad, or you can, you know, use it as a springboard. And I've often used that story in my feelings at that time when I was 11, all the way to my feelings as a 50-year-old guy. I've used that story and those feelings to help kids. I can find those kids who need that champion and share my story with them. And sometimes they don't think that a teacher, a principal, or a superintendent has real life experiences like that. And then when they hear that you do, they can quickly become, you know, friends at such a impressionable age, whether they're a 5-year-old or an 18-year-old. I know that you've been through some things in your life too that we've been able to have conversations about. Go a little bit deeper. What types of things have you been through to really capture that resilient spirit?
Yeah, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is when you're sharing that everybody has a story, and I feel like I've said that a lot, even when I'm in trainings or talking to coworkers and to students. You're right, everybody has a story, and even though you can go through the same type of situation, everybody's story is still different in how you handle it. When I was in the middle school age, 7th grade, I had lost my best friend in a car accident, and that was the first time that something really, really stung and was, as you would say, pivotal in my life. And, you know, it again was really important to stay connected to people and stay connected to others that knew that sort of pain and loss. But as you said, it's also important you have two different ways to go. You can choose to fall in a rabbit hole and really struggle, and it's easy to do that. Or you can choose to really fight and try to go the other way and stay and keep your head above water. And it's hard. It's stressful. It's not easy by any means, especially as a 7th grader and knowing what to do. But it's really important to try and keep that schedule, keep moving forward. So that would be my first opportunity of something that's really hard as a 7th grader, you know. But I'd also say, you know, just even going to college, being the first one, was really difficult too, and just figuring out that journey and navigating that world. But I'd probably say the biggest life challenge that I had was losing my mom. My mom passed away April 23rd, 2001, and that was obviously very devastating and so out of our control of anything. I mean, death is something that's really significant in everybody's lives, and, you know, there's times where you can really struggle, and it's okay to struggle, it's okay to cry, and it's okay to give yourself that time to cope and grieve. But there also comes a time when you need to know that, you know what, this isn't what my mom would want. You know, she raised me better than this. This isn't my life purpose, to sit on the couch and sleep and not honor her and live my best life. And that's where, you know, you really got to dig deep down into your toes and try your best, whatever that looks like for everybody that's different. It might be just getting up and taking a shower in the morning, but whatever that is, you just keep fighting. No matter what it is, you keep fighting, and that's what got me going, is I want to honor her every day of my life, so that's what kept me going. But I was 23 when that happened, a week away from graduating from college.
Sarah, can I ask, how well of a grip did you feel at that point that you had on these concepts that we're talking about now, the ideas of resilience and the need to keep going? Was that something that you had a background in and you knew what you were doing, or was it more of like an innate thing within you that just kind of happened and it was who you were?
Great question. You know, I don't know if I necessarily knew the grasp of what that meant to have resiliency skills. I knew something deep down in my belly, like I knew I needed to do better. And I needed to do something, whatever that was. It wasn't something where I'm like, oh, I'm going to use my coping skills. You know, it wasn't that. It was just something innate in my belly that just said, I got to do better. And I have to do better for my mom and my dad and my brothers and my family. Like, I wanted to be better and show them that we can get through.
And I want to emphasize something that you said in there that I think is really important. And that's the idea that being resilient and being strong and being tough and being all of those things that, you know, those words that we hear doesn't mean not feeling feelings. And it doesn't mean not having hard times. It doesn't mean not being sad or angry or frustrated. It's okay to be all of those things. And often when we get in these really hard situations, we should feel those things. And it's important that we feel them. But like you said, it's the idea of not getting stuck in those feelings and of processing them and moving through them to get to the other side. Is that accurate?
That would be absolutely point on. I feel that it's very important for people to go through that process, to feel those feelings. It's honest, it's raw, it's real. And that's the best way to actually be resilient, is to go through that process, because you are going to be better and healthier by going through all of those stages. And it's okay, you know?
Eric, I know you, obviously, with the story you just touched on, you were kind of forced through the similar situation where in middle school, you obviously hadn't been given all the tools and didn't know exactly what resiliency was. And it was just kind of forged in you by the situation that you went through. For both of you, how much have those episodes in your lives kind of driven the push that we have in the district currently and that we're seeing in education across the country to increase social emotional learning and to try to give kids these tools before they're forced into them? Because absolutely, at some point, we're all going to be in a situation where we are forced to be resilient, but how beneficial can it be if we can prepare kids ahead of time for that moment?
I'm going to start with a word, and it's a word that I heard Sarah say over and over again. Foundation. So whether it be her family, whether it be a situation, whether it be the town of Reamer, she talked about a foundation. And we know that as a society, life is challenging. It was challenging before the pandemic. We were seeing a nation under crisis for needing social emotional support for kids prior to the pandemic. So we got to understand that it's even increased now. And so what we can learn from our own story is that there is resiliency, there is success, there is a journey. And, you know, failing or feeling like you're in a tough spot where, you know, life isn't going the exact way that you hope it to is going to happen to everyone. Everyone has their story. And so as a school district, we can build a foundation so that students have those tools to endure challenging times throughout their story. And so that's what I hope as a school system, is that we can build the foundation. I know that families are also building foundations, but we know that, you know, life is a complicated, you know, it's a complicated system. And if we, the more people that you give kids to be their champion, the more that they have somebody to lean on. If the family isn't there in a certain case, then they can come to school and they have that somebody to pick them up and to recognize that they need a champion. So that's what we're doing. We're building foundation and we're there as people to share our stories and help them better connect to what's going on in their life.
Yeah, I would also say that having that foundation, that toolbox, is so important. It's really important to practice those right now, you know, or maybe before you really get into a crisis moment. I find it just like shooting a free throw. We practice. And so when we get into those high-pressure situations in fourth quarter, 10 seconds left, we're down by one, you know, we're able to practice that situation and that mindset to do and dig into that toolbox and to use what we have practiced. And so it's no different than resiliency skills. If we continue to practice those skills every single day and becomes a habit, that when we get into a crisis situation, whether it's a divorce or a friendship conflict or losing a parent, whatever that may be, that it becomes a habit and just natural that you dig into your toolbox and that you know what you can do of resiliency skills during those hard times.
Sarah, it's kind of, for me, this is an experience that I'll never forget in my life. I'm in with three of my good friends in my life at my workplace, and I know so much about each of you, and I know so much about each of you because of the relationship that we've built. So since we have that relationship, I know even more about you. I know that you've experienced more tragedy in your life. I was just wondering if you could talk to us a little bit, talk to our listeners about, you know, dealing with one tragedy, two tragedies, and how does that build a foundation for an experience that would come then even a little bit later in your life?
Yeah, you know, after losing my mom, just went through that story. 15 years later, my dad passed away. And so everything that I had learned and grew from and felt that I became stronger in really gave me a better understanding and a better way to cope and deal with another loss, another significant loss in my life. And just to be able to look at it differently, have a different perspective, and really stay in the moment of that really difficult situation. And again, you know, I was 15 years older too, which helps. But everything that I had learned and everything that I had worked through with my dad to be strong and to honor and those are the things that I held on to. And so I was able to care for my father in the last few weeks of his life. And so that really drove me to dig deep and to bring those tools back to get through those weeks and to honor. I know I continue to bring that word up, but, you know, that's something that really sticks with me is honor that I've learned through my tragedies. And so I feel like it's important to not forget those situations and just be mad because you've had those situations in your life. You can become bitter and mad about those types of things going on in your life. But everybody goes through really tough things. And I think trying to stay positive, be strong, and live through those and learn those skills so that when you do go through tough situations that you can dig deep and learn and grow and continue to honor those around us.
You've always been the breath of positivity to me, and there's no doubt that you've become that person because you've grown. And I heard you say growth several times. And so I think it's important, you know, as a young listener out there or anybody who might be going through challenges to know, you know, the person you are at in middle school when you go through a tough time, or the person you are when you're 11 years old going through a tough time, or the person you are when you're, you know, later in life going through a tough time. It's all an experience to help us grow and become, you know, the person that we continue to strive to be. And so you've used those experiences to grow, and you continue to do that, and you show us as staff members that openness to growth, and you show kids that openness to growth. And now that you're the liaison for Bounce Back, there are some very important Bounce Back principles or words that we could give our listeners right now to help them, you know, develop resiliency and tools. Can you talk a little bit about those words within Bounce Back?
Absolutely. I'd love to answer that question. First, I'd like to give just a little background regarding Bounce Back and why it even started. Bounce Back has been around for 5 years. This is their fifth year. And when they originally got this going is because, unfortunately, in the hospitals. They had lost two significant staff members, and one of them was to a tragic accident, and another one was by suicide. And obviously that really shakes an organization, and they were trying to find ways to come together to really, how do I support a staff and community to go through such tragedy? And so the Bounce Back organization was created with these principles in mind. And so they really do a wonderful job and have expanded not just in Monticello, but Buffalo, Delano, Cocado, Annandale. They've been up through Big Lake and St. Cloud and just really expanding and helping people teach these principles so communities can be happy and healthy as best as they possibly can. Bounce Back has certain principles that they, you know, live by within their community. And it's all things that we can continue as a community, as individual people, to grow, to make us better, stronger, and most important, resilient. And that's a word, obviously, that we're working with today. And being resilient is so important when we're going through such difficult times. And as I said before, you know, having gratitude, one of those principles is gratitude. Even when we're going through difficult times such as a pandemic, there's ways that we can find gratitude and be grateful for having a house to live in and having heat and food on our tables and grateful that we have family. Sometimes we have to dig a little deeper to find those things that we're grateful for, but they're there. And we just have to be intentional about finding what we're grateful for. Another one would be purpose. And what is our purpose? I know a lot of people might struggle with what their purpose is in life. But we have to keep an open mind and figure out what that is and continue each day. Sometimes it's just a daily, what's my purpose today? Why am I getting up? What can I do? Another one would be three good things. I know that Bounce Back had a big promotion back in October about their three good things. And it's about finding what your three good things are each day and, you know, kind of going with that gratitude of what are those three good things that happened today. And as we've talked about earlier, is social connections, staying connected socially, even during a pandemic, whether it's texting, we're doing Zoom meetings, whatever that looks like is staying connected. That's really important for our mental health, to stay socially connected as best as we can. And during a time of, you know, we're in holiday season a little bit, what can we do to make us feel good? It's important that we can do random acts of kindness, and that makes everyone feel good, whether you're the person doing it or receiving it. And, you know, that has definitely shown that, you know, it gives us all numerous benefits of being able to do random acts of kindness, and it doesn't need to cost anything. It can be something completely free. You can go shovel a sidewalk, or I know we don't have any snow right now, but later on in the winter, you know, that's something simple you can do. Yeah.
And we can be grateful for having no snow right now.
Absolutely. The sun is shining, you know. But it's important, you know, those are simple things that we can do to be mindful and to take care of ourselves during this really difficult time.
And I think that one of the important things to take away from all of those things and the general idea of building resilience and something that you touched on earlier is that it's a skill. And like any skill, we are all capable of building on it, growing it, expanding it, no matter our age, no matter our profession. And I know that Bounce Back does a really great job of providing those opportunities for people of all ages. And not just from the local community, but a lot of their stuff is available online for anyone. Are there resources that Bounce Back has that you'd like to share today?
Yeah, they have a great website. You can go to Google and just click in Bounce Back, and they have a great website with all sorts of tools available for all ages. It's a great resource. And, you know, follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter. Each month they have a different theme, and they're really great to be able to give you some little tips and tricks each month, and just being mindful to help take care of yourself and your mental health during this time. So it'd be really easy to follow them on Facebook and Twitter.
The website, quick, I'll just interject, is bouncebackproject.org. So it is www.bouncebackproject.org for those looking to engage those resources.
Yep. Thanks, Clay. And the last thing that I would share is that on our Monticello Public Schools District website, we also have a virtual calming room, and that's really easy to access, and it's right on the front page. And with that are a lot of opportunities to help students, families, even adults at all ages to be able to help themselves during this time. And there's also a tab in there for mental health and community resources that you can access at any given time, whether it's on a desktop computer or on your phone.
Well, as you could see today, we had our first guest, and she's absolutely amazing. She's got a story that will help guide us or guide you, hopefully, to being resilient and being able to make it through positively through many of the challenges in your life. Please know there are resources out there. There are people out there. Continue to grab onto the loved ones in your life or the people at schools. I know here in Monticello, we're pretty proud of the relationships that we build with every kid every day. But I know if you're listening to this, you know, across the nation, that schools are a great place to find that person to connect to. The very first teacher I ever connected to, it was my favorite teacher, is my 11th grade teacher, Mr. Miltage, and I've often told stories about him. So, Mr. Miltage, if you're out there, thank you for connecting me to a life of resiliency and being able to help me through some tough times. And I also got to have you in college. So when I was at Itasca Community College, and the things that you did for me to teach me English, obviously were awesome. But the things that you did to teach me about life and care about me through a couple situations, I'll never forget. So whether it be a teacher, a coach, a grandparent, the bounce back principle, our calming room on our website, or any healthcare professional, reach out. We're there for you.
Thank you to all of you for joining us for this, the first episode of In the Arena with Superintendent Olson. Special thank you to Sarah Welk for joining us and bringing her level of expertise on a very important topic, and a topic, as Superintendent Olson touched on, that is probably more important this time of year than ever. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you look forward to the next one. We'll see you back in January with the second episode of Inside the Arena with Superintendent Eric Olson.
This has been In the Arena podcast with Superintendent Eric Olson. You can follow us on Twitter at ISD882 or on Facebook at Monticello Public Schools. You can find our podcast at monticello.k12.mn.us or on all the places you can find a podcast, whether that be Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more.